Next case for argument is Fasia versus Ashcroft, Ms. Spaschotti. Ms. Fasciati?
May it please the court. My name is Mary Fasciati, and I represent Hannah Fasciati, who happens to be the wife of Deborah Medine, a case that this court has heard my oral argument some months ago. This is a case involving only the motion to reopen that Hannah and I hope the court will excuse me for referring to her by her name, Hannah. Hannah filed a motion to reopen in which she alleged that she was in the process of converting to her husband's religion as a Jehovah's Witness. She asserted that she feared persecution if she went back to Eritrea, which was a claim that was distinctly different than the initial asylum claim that she had presented before the administrative agency, that was based solely upon her ethnicity as a Tigrayan. And I certainly don't want to go into the merits of whether one is a Tigrayan as opposed to something else. So in dealing only with the motion to reopen, my point is to show the contrast between what was once the allegation and what it eventually became in terms of her motion to reopen.
Could I ask you, please, the country reports on Eritrea do say that returning individuals who unsuccessfully sought asylum in other countries are considered on a case-by-case basis. What evidence is there in the record that Eritrea looks into the reasons why these individuals sought asylum?
Well, I think it can be assumed from the State Department report that that's precisely what they're saying, is that there is always an investigation at the time of admission by the government as to who is and who is not eligible to be repatriated to Eritrea. I assume, and since I have not asked to be repatriated to Eritrea in recent memory, I assume that what they're trying to achieve is to distinguish those who may be of Ethiopian nationality from those who are Eritrean nationality, those who may have filed asylum claims which impugned the government, because as we now know from the country reports over a period of time, Eritrea has become rather suspicious of any criticisms directed at it. It has curtailed any opposition by anyone, including religions, as to the government policies and practices, which, I should add, have become more oppressive as time goes on, particularly after the 1998 border war with Ethiopia. The fact that the government has said we're going to consider this on a case-by-case basis highly suggests that an investigation will be conducted before a person is allowed to wander freely in Eritrea. And if a person has not fulfilled their military service, and this is simply a matter of logic, if they haven't fulfilled their military service or national civil service, then, of course, they're detained and forcibly put into military service. So this is what she is essentially saying. I am a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not a baptized Jehovah's Witness, but I am a Jehovah's Witness. My husband's a Jehovah's Witness. My children are being raised a Jehovah's Witness. And if I were to return, I would face these perils. I would not be admitted unequivocally. In fact, quite possibly, she may be still considered an Ethiopian, because she was born in Ethiopia and became an Eritrean many years later by voting in the referendum for independence. So the question is whether or not she's truly a documented, bona fide, real flesh and blood Eritrean is still up for grabs, and I would assume that that decision will be made on a case-by-case basis. The board went on to deny this motion to reopen because it found that despite her own affidavit, she had not presented corroborative evidence that she was, in fact, a Jehovah's Witness. Now, the respondent argues that that fact alone is predominant. You have to show first that you're a Jehovah's Witness, that you actually have converted, and provide independent proof before we move on to the question of whether you've stated a claim of religious persecution on account of your religion. This court strongly disapproved of that analysis and more. And there is a history of case law in this circuit, beginning with Bastianapour, which we cited in our brief, Najafi, that says that religious belief, religious views, short of actual membership, still can maintain a credible and plausible claim to persecution.
Could she have obtained an extension? Because what she says is, I am unable to produce any evidence of my conversion, as I must undergo the final ritual before the Board of Elders before they will give me evidence of my conversion. I expect they will complete their process soon. Well, could she have obtained some extension of time?
No.
To submit the evidence when she finished the...
No, Your Honor. And I would cite to the court the provisions of 1229A. Citing these gives me a problem, a headache. 1229C, 6, capital C, Roman numeral 2. There is no time limit. I'm quoting directly from the statute. There is no time limit on the filing of a motion to reopen if the basis of the motion is to apply for relief under Section 208 and is based on changed country conditions arising in the country of nationality or the country to which removal has been ordered. So if she is simply saying, my religious beliefs have changed from Christian Orthodox.
I understand, Yuri. She can't file another petition for it to reopen?
Well, probably only if she can prove country conditions have changed according to the statute.
Change of personal conditions is not a basis for another...
No, not as I read this particular provision, and I'm citing directly from the statute as I stand here on motions to reopen.
But presumably, if there were a reopening, then she'd have a chance to produce this evidence and the government could produce contrary evidence. Is that what you envisage?
Proceeding? If the board had found her credible, she would have, by the time the reopening were granted, and we know what the delays are in just moving the file from one agency to one office to another, she probably would have been baptized by that time and in front of an immigration judge, would have provided sufficient proof. And especially now, since her husband has had his case remanded by this court, if in the event that by that time he's also given asylum status, he would have more authority to say, my wife is a Jehovah's Witness. My wife believes and proselytizes as a Jehovah's Witness, not from the standpoint of one who's had his application for asylum denied. So the point about the husband's affidavit is just completely fallacious as far as I'm concerned.
Do these Jehovah's Witness elders... Do they provide affidavits? Are they willing to provide?
No, they're not willing to unless a person is really, truly a member of the Jehovah's Witness. Mr. Gebredin, her husband, presented a letter on the day of his hearing by someone who was a practicing Jehovah's Witness on the stationery of the Jehovah's Witness religion. The judge discarded that because it said it was late filed. When I replied, added that letter onto the documents in my motion to reopen, the board discounted it.
Does Jehovah's Witnesses have a structure? Do they have a leader?
Well, they don't have a pope, but that much we know of. But what they do is that there is a progressive study and requirements for conversion.
So it's not like Catholicism. You can't be baptized on your deathbed, or so. You have to do something first.
I don't think so, but I'm not an expert on Jehovah's Witnesses, but I know that there is a period of study, and then there's a period of proselytizing, and then following that, further study, and then apparently there is this baptism.
I see, so that's right.
And there is a sequence to conversion and I assume it's different for an adult than it is for a child. Only because an adult has to go through a more intellectual or more intensified instruction. If the court has no further questions, I would ask the court to reverse the decision of the board because I think it's arbitrary, I think it's fallacious, and I think it's wrong.
Thank you very much, Ms. Speciotti. Ms. Gordon?
May it please the court, Michelle Gordon for the government in this case.
Could I start you out on the same path that I started Ms. Speciotti out? Mm-hmm. Because given that Eritrea has this history of detaining and discriminating against Jehovah's Witnesses and political dissidents, among others, isn't Ms. Fezahai justified in suggesting that she is likely to be detained?
Well, I think that her claim was that if she returns, she will face persecution as a person who has sought asylum abroad. And what the 2001 country report shows is that generally citizens have the right of return. But if you are a person who more specifically has run afoul of the law, contracted a serious disease, or applied for political asylum, which was not the case here, then there is a chance that your application will be reviewed on a case-by-case basis. And what's significant about that information here, and I think what the board found, is that that doesn't show a prima facie case of persecution or entitlement to asylum.
Well, am I incorrect in believing that the country reports indicate that Eritrea considers all returning persons who were refused asylum in other countries on a case-by-case basis?
I think that not the 2001 country report by the Department of State. What you might be thinking about, Your Honor, is the Amnesty International report that was attached to the motion to reopen.
No, I'm thinking about the country report.
I apologize. I think I had the impression that the 2001 country report shows that generally there is a right of return, but more specifically, if you are a person who, as I said before, falls into one of these three categories, then your application for asylum will be your application for return will be reviewed on a case-by-case basis. But again, Ms. Fezahai hasn't showed that she falls into one of these three particular categories, and that in turn was the basis for the board's decision. And in any event, having your application reviewed on a case-by-case basis, she didn't allege or show anymore. She didn't allege or show that an application being reviewed on a case-by-case basis perhaps rises to a level of persecution.
Well, but if she's a Jehovah's Witness, though, isn't she going to face persecution?
Well, I think that was the problem in this case, is that there hasn't been a finding that she is indeed a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, but I understand. She produces this affidavit, and she says, you know, I'm not able to produce any evidence. Mm-hmm. Does I have to undergo the final ritual before the Board of Elders before they'll give me evidence. What more could she say?
I think there's a lot more that she could say. The problem with her affidavit
What more could she say?
Maybe I should backtrack. Maybe it's not what she could have. Well, I think what more she could have said was, what is the process of conversion that you're going through? When did you start it? When do you anticipate that you might end it? She alluded to all of those. She alluded to a process of conversion in her affidavit. And as Ms. Fasciati has
more
just
than
said,
an allusion.
She said that she's undergoing it. I apologize.
I must undergo the final ritual before the board, the elders will give me the affidavit. Mm-hmm. I expect they'll complete their process soon. What more should she say?
She could have provided details. She could have provided dates.
What would that do? The names wouldn't do any good. These people, I mean, I gather from what Ms. Speciotti said and from the sort of common sense of it, the elders of the Jehovah's Witnesses do not want to just provide, you know, an asylum service. It's an unusual religion. They obviously, people who are Jehovah's Witnesses take it very seriously. So they want to be satisfied that this person has a sincere desire to be a Jehovah's Witness rather than is just, you know, going through the motions in order to avoid deportation. So I don't see what more she could say.
Well, I think two things are pertinent. First of all, the question here is whether or not the board abused its discretion.
No, so I'm asking you, what more could she, as a practical matter, have done?
The board said that she could have provided an affidavit.
Okay, the board said, I'm asking you, what could she have done?
She could have provided an affidavit from her husband. She could have.
What good would that do? That would have no credibility.
His affidavit, it's already been turned down by the board. Talk about a meaningless act.
Well, but at this, by the same token, this court actually accepted what it was that he had to say about his claim, and before in administrative proceedings, he wasn't found to be incredible. It was just found that he didn't satisfy his burden to show that he was entitled to asylum. Getting back to what it was that she could have said in her particular affidavit, I think that the board was troubled with the fact that her affidavit was very vague. It was very general.
That's why I keep asking you, what other detail would you like to see?
She could even have said when it was that she decided to adopt and convert her religion, which is exactly what it is. She said in her affidavit, I decided to adopt and convert the religion. She could have stated when she made this adoption and conversion. She ties it into her marriage to her husband.
Since being with my husband attending his religious functions in the United States, I decided to convert. Now, she's supposed to have a date?
Like Paul
at Damascus? You know, I had a vision. I decided to convert on August 3rd. What would that do?
I think it's reasonable in a case like this one where we already have a final order of removal and she's asking the agency to disturb that final order of removal, and especially given the fact that she's been married to her husband since 1998, she ties her conversion into her marriage, for her to provide a date as to when it was that she decided to adopt and abide by this.
What difference is it? It says since being with and attending his religion in the United States. So it's since she came to the United States, she decided to convert. What difference does it make whether you decided one day after she came to the United States or a year after she came to the United States?
Well, in this case, it makes a difference because it's a motion to reopen, and she has to allege new facts that weren't available at the time when she originally applied for asylum in the year 2000. So it is something that the board could have considered. In addition, I think it's just more specific information that she could have provided to substantiate her faith. I think the board here did not know exactly what to believe. Should we believe that she has adopted the religion or not? And under those circumstances, it was perfectly reasonable for them to ask for evidence.
Was she supposed to write an essay on religion or something?
She doesn't have to write an essay on religion, but she does have to give more specific details that substantiate her faith. And what the board found was that she could have done that with an affidavit from her husband or the elders. Well, and I might point out
that the elders aren't going to give the affidavit.
But she hasn't provided any evidence of that, Your Honor. Her bare statement is not enough.
Well, what is she supposed to get an affidavit from the elders saying, I won't give an affidavit? What are you talking about?
I think she could have at least provided an affidavit that said, we can't provide any more information about her conversion process because she hasn't completed
that's
it.
What that's what she not said in her affidavit.
But it's not an it's not an independent corroboration of her statement. And Ms. Fasciati's statement the elders...
I don't understand you. Do you really think she can go to one of these religious officials and say, please give me an affidavit stating that you won't give me an affidavit?
I think
these people don't want to be tied up with the immigration service like this. I mean, it's not like they're a popular group even in the United States.
Well, I think that it's I think the question here is whether or not it was reasonable for the board to have rejected her explanation. And I think that in the absence of any evidence in the record that the elders were not going to give her an affidavit that said that she could not get this information before the court, or in the absence of any affidavit from her husband, that she did not provide enough evidence to substantiate her claim, her newly alleged claim, and that was her burden on a motion to reopen case, where motions to reopen are highly disfavored. She just simply did not meet her burden in this context. With respect to her claim that she, as a returning Ethiopian national, she will be persecuted, the board properly found that there was no evidence of this. The 2001 country report states that to the extent that there have been deportations of Ethiopians from Eritrea, it largely has stopped as of the year 2000. She didn't provide any more evidence of that. If there are no further questions, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Gordon. Ms. Fasciati, how much time does she have? Does she have any time? 1 minute? Do you have anything further?
I feel blessed. I have a minute. That probably might say it all. I think the court is absolutely correct in wondering exactly how much more can you show about your religious belief as opposed to your religious affiliation that would satisfy the burden imposed on an applicant to state new facts according to the statute. Ms. Gordon has not, with all due respect, explained to the court what more she could have done. And in any case, there is a provision, and board decisions have said, that if you provide satisfactory proof why corroborating information is not available, you don't have to submit it. So there is that general understanding that if you explain why you can't, you don't have to. Yet the board violated that very simple rule because it didn't believe her, and it didn't believe her religious affiliation, and it didn't want to reopen the proceedings because reopening is disfavored. And because reopening is disfavored, there's no point in crediting anything a movement says in support of their motion to reopen. And I'm sorry to be so cynical about these matters, but that's been my experience. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and the court will take a brief recess before the final case.
Honor, and may it please the court. This is a case about